to Mindset Transformations Radio Show with your host, Coach Myrna. Do you feel the need to do more with your life? Are limiting beliefs holding you back from true success? Enjoy a unique blend of interviews, discussions, and transformation coaching in every show. Get the tools for success. The Mindset Transformation Radio Show with your host, Coach Myrna.
Welcome to the Mindset Transformation Radio Show. I'm your most gracious host, Coach Myrna Young, and today we have a treat for you. We are going to be talking to Swami Bharananda Saraswati. I know I messed that up. So how do you say that last word, Swami?
it's Saraswati, Swami Bharananda Saraswati.
Bharananda, right. Brahmananda. Sorry about that. Yes. So I was told I can just call you Swami G, which is like sir, right?
Absolutely. Swami G works.
All right. So I'm going to try to get it right. But you want to stay tuned for this entire broadcast because Swami G is going to be talking to us about finding hardcore happiness and true success. And he has been in this space since he was 4 years old. So he's got a lot of information to impart, and I am going to be so honored to listen and also glean from his knowledge because I am also, I call myself a seeker. Since I read the book Eat, Pray, Love and saw the ashrams, and it's something I've always wanted to do. And in fact, when I went to India a couple of years ago, I was trying to get to an ashram and to go to Nepal because that level of consciousness and enlightenment is something that I seek. So I am, like I said, I'm coming from the space where I definitely want to be awed and to be transformed from this broadcast. So welcome, Swami.
Oh, thank you, Myrna D. I'm really happy to be here with you in this podcast. And Himalayas are definitely a beautiful place, and there's so much I have received from that place. I'm happy that you went there.
Yeah, I didn't get to go to an ashram, but I did visit India, and but I couldn't find an ashram to go to, but I toured as a tourist.
Maybe next time we go together.
Oh, yeah. And I hear they have them right here in the United States. I don't have to go all the way to India, but it's definitely on my bucket list. All right. So in keeping with the theme of the show, I always like to leave a tip of the week that comes directly from Coach Myrna. And this week, I want to share with you the 7 levels of fulfillment from the book by Deepak Chopra. Because fulfillment and happiness tie into each other, and Swami is going to be touching on that a lot. So according to Deepak, we all know that happiness comes from fulfillment. And in order for us to find fulfillment, we must be open and activate or awaken our inner sources of calm, love, and truth. And Deepak says that spiritual awakening is natural. The process is like waking up in the morning and opening your eyes to the light. And there's 7 levels of, getting to this fulfillment. And when you're connected to the light of being, which is the light of the self, this is the light that shines beyond all things on earth, beyond the highest heavens. And this is the light that shines within you and me. So the first level of fulfillment is pure potentiality. And the reason we find fulfillment from that is that we know that where we are today is not where we can end up. We have the potential to be limitless beings. We have the potential to be whoever and whatever we want. So that brings us happiness. The second level of fulfillment is giving. When you have something to give, you're so blessed. Because that means that, you have more than a lot of people in this world. So being able to give, it also brings you happiness that you're not begging. The third level is fulfillment from sowing and reaping. So we can get up in the morning and say we want to sow happiness. we want to sow, whatever we want to get, we know that we have the ability to sow it. So it comes from happiness, that, you know, brings us happiness because we are in control. The fourth level is fulfillment from love. To be able to love and to be able to be loved is the most powerful force in the universe. Love does definitely bring you happiness. The fifth level is fulfillment from the desires of your heart. You know, whenever I achieve a goal or something it is that I want and I get it, I celebrate. It's a beautiful feeling. It's even beyond happiness. To me, it's bliss. So, you know, getting the desires of your heart is definitely a barometer of happiness. The sixth level is from detachment. And detachment means that you know beyond a shadow of doubt that what you ask God and the universe for, you will receive. So you're detaching from the process. You know that the end result is going to happen, and you're not attaching to the journey and the steps, right? And then the seventh level of fulfillment is from being in purpose. And I think that that's basically the space that Swami G is going to be talking to us today, is finding fulfillment from your purpose. So how did you like my seven levels, Swami?
I think these seven levels are beautiful. And I think they are very much part of what we do here at Naked Moment.
Okay.
We organize them, you know, a little bit more concisely. I personally love Deepak Chopra. We both come from the same lineage. I went to Maharshi University to get my higher education, and he studied with Maharshi. But I think, you know, we can really, really bring that happiness ultimately to one simple step, which is the last step that you described.
Which is finding purpose.
And because if we don't know who we are and what we are really here to do, then we end up living a life basically following agendas that other people set for us.
Yes.
And I'm going to share a story, actually. I love this story. I learned it from my master when I was really young, and it has really, really helped me to find peace, happiness, and fulfillment in my life. And I think, you know, it can help our audiences too. So it's a story about a ghost. A long time ago, there was a jungle, haunted jungle, and in that jungle lived a ghost. Now, the ghost was kind of notorious, so anybody who will walk through that jungle, the ghost will catch them and will say, hey, you are passing through my jungle, so you are my guest. And I don't want to be rude, so I want to invite you to my palace. And people will be terrified looking at this ghost. They'll be like, well, thank you for your offer, but we want to go our way and get on with our lives. And ghosts will say, no, 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 now you are being rude. You must come. So
he insisted. Mm-hmm.
And people will be like, well, no, thank you. And the ghosts are like, look, I'm being really nice, and you are making me mad. So do you want to go the other way? And people are like, okay, fine, what do we need to do? And the ghost will say, let's just go. You know, you'll have some good time. I'll feed you something good, and you get to spend a night, and then you go. And people will go with him to the palace, and he will feed them really good food. And then he will bring them, after a good party time, to their bedroom. And he will show them their bed. And it will be a beautiful bed, really, really golden, gem, laden bed. And he will ask them, go ahead, sleep. So they'll be like, okay, well, this is a nice ghost. We are feeling nice. And they will lie down on that bed. And then he will say, but wait a minute. You are my guest, and I want to make sure that you are very, very comfortable. So let's see if you are fitting in this bed. And of course, bed was not made specifically for that person. So it would not be fitting to that person. And then he will say, well, sorry, my friend, you're not fitting to it, so I want to make sure you're comfortable. So either I'm going to elongate you, and in that process, you might, you know, rupture and die. Or if you are too big for this, then I must cut, you know, some pieces out of your body. And that process also, you might die, and then I'll eat you. And we know what happens, you know. Ultimately, he chops him up, and he eats them.
Oh, my gosh.
Now,
wow.
This story is, even though it's fantasy, it's like, oh, well, you know, that's just some fairy tale. I think this is the reality of our current society, because we too, you know, we grow up in this society, and we are also told that, hey, you can't just walk on your path. You must come and visit the palace, whatever that might be, you know, whichever society, each society has its systems, its obligations, you know, its doctrines that tells you that you must follow. And then if you don't fit that box, they have systems to chop you up, really, you know,
wow.
Like take out that extra creativity, that extra uniqueness. But my philosophy is I don't think we are born to blend in. You know, we are born to be outstanding.
Yeah.
And as we go through life, unfortunately, a lot of us actually have to go through that chopping process and put, you know, in the pigeonholes and are put in the boxes.
Mm-hmm.
And that takes away from living the purpose.
Mm.
But I think the ghost is not really that strong. It's only strong if we give in, you know, with fear.
Mm-hmm.
But
yes.
If we acknowledge ourselves, our path, believe in our heart and our strength, then these systems and the ghosts don't stand a chance.
Yeah. You know, I have never heard that. So I love that. I have actually never heard that story. So I'm glad that we start off with something that's unique. All right. Well, let me tell our guests a little bit more about you and as I read your bio. All right, so Swami Brahmananda Saraswati was raised in India at the age of 4, began studying with ascended masters in an ashram in the Himalayas. By the age of 12, he was teaching yoga and meditation at the ashram's yoga school. In 2009, Swami left India to study pre-medicine at a university in Iowa, the Maharishi University of Management. He has taught thousands of people yoga, meditation, and Ayurveda. Now he wants to bring happiness to an even larger audience. Swami is a warm and gentle teacher, full of light and enthusiasm. He was taught powerful practices that have been independently validated by science to be beneficial to human health, including stress reduction, enhanced well-being, creativity, and productivity. His compassionate and knowledgeable approach to teaching allows full-spectrum learning. He says often, we have 100% freedom and 100% responsibility. And this world is dominated by action. Through his teachings and exercises, many people have transformed their lives by improving their health and helping them become more deeply connected to themselves. So, once again, Swami, I am going to enjoy talking to you today. My audience will enjoy listening to you today. Now, as my first question I want to ask you is, I know that you have created the happiness formula. Did you want to tell our guests how that journey happened and how you got to this point?
Yes, and thank you for that kind introduction. That was very generous.
Thank you.
Well, so my journey of happiness really started at a very early age, and I am so grateful to my parents and my masters for giving me the secret, for giving me the path. Because now that I've traveled around quite a bit, I see that a lot of people don't have that good fortune of having that knowledge and the support that I received. So I was born in central India to very simple parents, beautiful people. And then at the age of four, they sent me to the ashram where I started learning. And it was a fun place. It was in Himalayas. I had all kind of masters teaching all kind of things. We learned, you know, the modern education, you know, the science, the physics, the math, the literatures. And we also studied Ayurveda, yoga, mindfulness, meditation. One thing it stood out for me as I'll move through India, that I'll see people not very happy. And then I will see people who were happy. And most of the people who were happy were usually monks or the people from simple societies like villages, but more educated people, people from cities, people, you know, who were running businesses or who were really in the hustle and bustle of the world. A lot of them will come to the ashram to try to find peace. But gosh, you know, every time I'll see them, it will be a reminder for myself that I don't want to grow up to be in that state. So I went to my master and I said, Master, I don't want to grow up to be unhappy. I really like, you know, being happy and bouncy in the way I'm feeling right now. And he started laughing. He's like, you have nothing to worry about. You're a young monk. Don't worry. You'll be fine. But I'll go around. And Himalayas, you know, they're an interesting place. As you we were talking early, a lot of people like me and you, you know, have Himalayas in their bucket list. They want to go there and they want to find that deep enlightenment. And so I met people from all over the world coming to Rishikesh, coming to Josimath. You know, these are the areas where I grew up in the Himalayas. And they will be searching for peace and happiness and enlightenment. And they will go to some yoga classes. They will take some meditation classes. And I'll interact with these people. I'll ask them what brings them here. And they will ask, tell me that, well, we are here to find peace and calm and happiness and purpose. And when they will be leaving, I'll ask them, hey, have you guys found it? And most people will say essentially no. I mean, they will use the other words. They'll say still looking for it, you know, it takes lifetimes and, you know, all kinds of things they will say. But I didn't believe in that. I didn't believe that, you know, something as simple and as essential as happiness, which all of us are really born with, should take a lifetime of a search, or, you know, as you were saying, that shouldn't, I mean, now there are ashrams in America, you know. So it shouldn't, you know, take a person to run around the whole world or spend their whole life searching for it. I think people should be able to live it every day in the moment. So I insisted with my masters that, hey, you know, please, and maybe I was a little bit peculiar as a child. I don't remember many children asking my master that. But my master buzzed in and he gave me the secret. And it was a very simple formula he gave me. And I've been applying that since then in my life. And every single day, I wake up happier and more excited and more passionate about life.
Oh my gosh. I want it. Wow.
Yeah, so basically, since then, life has been a lifelong party. It has helped me to feel, you know, find fulfillment in all different areas of my life, you know, physically, mentally, socially, intellectually. These teachings and these tools have really, really helped me to get most out of my life experience.
Wow.
So that's my journey.
Wow. That is a beautiful journey. And like I said, you've been in this space since you were 4 years old. And it's obviously been your purpose, because you're saying that not too many children ask their masters these questions. So you came into this world with the spirit that that this is what you're supposed to do. And you're living your life in purpose, and that's why you're happier and happier every day. So I am sure that my audience would love to glean a little bit on how they can live a life as a lifelong party and find fulfillment in all areas in their life. So we're going to get into that in our second segment, but let's take a quick station break, and we'll be right back to this life-given conversation. Stay tuned. Right back.
Are you longing to feel happy in life? Are you tired of living an uninspired, unenergized, and lukewarm life? If you are ready to live the life of your dreams, feel in control, fulfilled, and driven with purpose, then head over to nakedmoment.com/transform, where Swami Ramananda will help you to find the missing pieces and become the person you were born to be. You deserve happiness, and you can attain it. With Swami's guidance and the power of an entire community of happiness seekers, you too can wake up happy. Don't know what your perfect life looks like? Can't seem to get out of your own way? Always feel down, filled with fear or guilt? Do you feel like your environment isn't supporting you? Stop feeling like there's no way out. There's one clear step to take, and right now, if you head over to nakedmoment.com/transform, there will be some amazing free bonuses for you to get a head start on your happiness journey. Don't wait. Join a growing community and get happy. Head over to nakedmoment.com/transform.
Welcome back to the Mindset Transformation Radio Show and Podcast. I'm your host, Coach Myrna Young, and today we are speaking to Swami Ramananda on the subject of finding hardcore happiness and true success, and of course, living your life in purpose. In the first segment of the show, we talked about Deepak's 7 levels of fulfillment. We're going to concentrate on one specific of the levels in this conversation today. And Swami gave us his background on how he came to this point in his life. So as we move into the meat of our conversation, let me ask you, Swami, what is happiness and how do people know when they find it? Hello?
Hello.
Hi.
Yeah.
Sorry about that.
Myrna,
yeah,
so
did I lose you for a minute?
Yeah, you did, just for a minute over there. But I think I got the question you were asking, I think, about
what is happiness and how do people know when they find it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. So, well, it's interesting that we even have to ask this question, but we live in very interesting times, and there's just so much distraction from our own true self. You know, from the very beginning of life in this modern world, a child is born, and what happens? There are all kind of exciting stuff happening around, and obviously, you know, as any growing human being, the child's attention and mind goes to all the interesting stuff. But I think in ancient cultures, there was also, you know, a part of daily life which helped young little children to point their attention inwards and actually connect mm-hmm. with their inner self in some way or form. You know, whether it was the Western civilization or Eastern, everywhere there was that focus. But I think that in current times we are missing that. And then you grow older and older, you only get more and more far removed, and you reach to a place where you really have to wonder what happiness really is. There are two ways, two approaches I want to take to answer this. First approach I want to say is, you know, what historically happiness has been defined as, and, you know, what my master told me it is and what my experience is. So the Sanskrit term for happiness is prasannata. Prasannata means process of bringing forth your positive vibrations or your positive attributes. And even in the Western civilization, Aristotle, he had a term for happiness called eudaimonia. I must be butchering the Greek, but that's the word. And it means human flourishing. So
human flourishment?
Human flourishing. Flourishing?
Okay.
Yeah, so basically the same idea, like bringing forth a beautiful, positive attributes of our humanity. Mm-hmm. And so I think, you know, the humanity is more than just a yellow smiley face. And that's a kind of tragedy that's what the current understanding of happiness has, you know, become. Mm-hmm. People think of happiness and they think of just this, you know, smiley emojis. And, and you know, it creates a problem, actually. What it does, that we start to move from genuine, you know, solid, real happiness, which is made up of these positive emotions such as joy, gratitude, serenity, interest, hope, you know, pride, amusement, inspiration. But nowadays, what it has become is just a stretching exercise of face. People basically, you know, stretch their lips and they let other people know that, you know, don't bother me. I just want to tell you things are okay, or I don't want to discuss with you. But deep inside, I don't think people are overflowing with joy or gratitude or passion. That's what happiness is, you know, in my eyes. And how to get it? Well, it's simple and difficult at the same time. Simple in the sense that the path to achieve happiness is very simple. You simply have to follow a very simple formula, which we have put together in Naked Moment. We call it happiness formula. And the first step is, of course, coming to the realization that you want real happiness. You want to go beyond just being a fake smiley face. And you mm-hmm. really, really want to fill your heart with joy, gratitude, passion for life. And if you make that commitment towards finding your true purpose and towards finding that deeper level of happiness, then you can go ahead and apply the very simple formula. It's a three-step process. And the okay. process basically involves going inside and then finding balance is step one. Step two, cultivating creativity. And step three is letting go of our pride. So if we can do that in our life, we can definitely find the deeper happiness.
Okay. Awesome. And of course, yes, going inside has to do with meditation, I'm assuming, and understanding who you are, right?
Yes. Going inside is, there are many approaches to it. And I think there's misconception about meditation out there. People think that meditation is just, you know, basically this boring thing where you sit down, you close your eyes and do nothing. but there are many, many ways to take that inward journey. And, I personally call all those ways meditation. And even though it is a journey from the craziness into nothingness, but it's not really nothing. The experience is not nothing. Experience is very rich. It's not empty experience.
Yeah, I know. I meditate. I mean, I've not been able to reach the high levels of where I'm like flying and stuff like that, but I'm a beginner in meditation, but yeah, I mean, one of the reasons I wanted to go to the ashram is because I wanted to feel like I'm floating above my body and things like that. So, I mean, but hey, you know, you practice and you get better. But at least, you know, I quiet my mind and I get instruction, And one of the beautiful things is when I meditate, I communicate with my higher being, and I get instructions for daily lives and for intuition. So yeah, there's definitely all levels. I'm not at the level of the monk or you, but and you know, you're right. There's several, you know, Deepak, of course, who was the first person I started following in this space, feels that you should meditate half an hour in the morning and half an hour at night. And there's some people who will tell you that all you need is 5 minutes during a day. So there's all levels, but once you're doing it, I guess, right?
Yes, absolutely. I think, you know, first of all, I think the experiences you describe are pretty advanced, so I think you are doing it right. I also think debate about, you know, half an hour in the morning or evening and, you know, versus 5 minutes, I think you put it right. It's really a matter of getting it started and starting to do it. And then you explore it and you find that sweet spot that works for you. I personally recommend that we should go for 20 minutes a day. Okay. I know the time is you know, hot currency for everyone. Everybody's busy. Mm-hmm. But I think there are 24 hours a day, which, you know, comes down to 1,440 minutes. So if we only take out 20 minutes to meditate, we still have 1,420 minutes left. And the fact that you meditate for those 20 minutes can actually make those remaining 1,420 minutes three times, four times, even 10 times more productive, more fun.
True.
So I think it's a worth investment.
Yeah, it's definitely worth it. Yes. Awesome. All right. So now I'm going to ask, why does happiness matter?
Well, it matters. why does happiness matter? It's a beautiful question. It matters for many reasons. I think the ultimate reason it matters because I think happiness is what truly drives us. It can look different. Our perception of happiness can be different. But at the end of the day, I think every living being on this planet mm-hmm. wants happiness, and that's what is driven by. We wake up in the morning and we go to bed at night, and everything we do in between, mm-hmm. in some way or form, we are telling ourselves that we are doing all this because at the end of the day, this is going to help me become happier, and it is going to help better the lives of people who I care about. To a point where even people who are engaging in negative actions, you know, in some twisted form, even they are looking for happiness. Mm-hmm. So I think happiness matters. Now, I think, you know, thinking about what is the real value, though, because in some way or form, we know deep down that it matters. But a lot of people think that happiness is just a luxury and or dismiss happiness on the surface level of life and kind of put it on a back burner and get busy with a lot of other things. And partially it is because of the society. Society has this theory that you can't simply be happy. You have to work for it. And in current society, almost all the children are told, you know, from the time they're born that, hey, this is a tough world out there, dog-eat-dog world out there, and you have to be tough, and you have to work hard, you have to succeed. And then the child asks, how do I succeed? And then they say, well, you succeed by putting hard work as a priority. And then they say, well, how do I know I'm working hard enough? And they say, well, you'll be suffering, and then you will know you are working hard enough. So the suffering is idealized and as put as this big medal And I see it, you know, I go around the world, teach and travel, and I see people where their stress, their anxiety, and their busyness and you know, stress and suffering as a badge of honor almost.
Yep.
And I think it's the wrong culture, it's the wrong idea, because it, regardless of the popular theory that you work hard, you suffer, and then you become successful, and then you will finally be happy, I think that's broken backwards, and that doesn't work at all.
Well, it's true, because, you know, a lot of, you know, in the work environment, as a coach, a lot of people come to me for work-life balance. And I would say that in order for you to be happy, you have to have balance. You can't be working 15-hour days, go home and sleep, start over, do it all again. But then someone told me the other day that you have to, in the beginning, you have to work hard in the beginning so that you can set up your tomorrow. And I was almost convinced of that, because it's probably true that if you're starting off in anything, you have to give it your all. You have to have those, you know, those 14, 15-hour days, and you and then you do that for a short term, and hopefully it will pan out to something. But, you know, I know that it really never works, because when you are doing all those hours, you have no time to go inside. You have no time to find a beauty. You're just putting in the labor, and that never brings you happiness. Maybe it might bring you some money, but it never brings you happiness.
Yeah, I think, you know, even in terms of finding money, right? You talk about money. And I think that's a important point, because a lot of people, that's the thing, right? People think, well, look, happiness sounds good. You know, it's a very hippie concept. And, you know, it sounds like a luxury. I'd like to have it. But let's get real with life. I have bills to pay. I need to take care of family.
You need money, right?
Mm-hmm. I'm not a monk, so I'm, you know, I need to take care of my things. And they think that, you know, all that is good. You know, I think the gist of that is that they want to be responsible. But I think their reasoning that how to be responsible in life is faulty. And it's not their fault. It's just what we hear in the society. I think that if you put happiness first, you can be more successful, you can be richer, you'll be healthier, you will have better life altogether. And now, you know, I think we live in great times. Last 20, 30 years, there have been a lot of research in the fields of neuroscience and psychology. And they say, I'm a science student, I went to medical school, so, and I went there basically to learn the scientific aspect of happiness. And it's surprising that actually the science shows that when you are happy, you intellectually are better off, because your learning is better and you are more creative. So when you are stressed, on the other hand, what happens that these fear centers or the stress centers, the amygdala and the limbic system, it gets off the handle, and you are not using the maximum capacity of your creative or reasoning power that your brain has. And so there you are shortchanging yourself. And also, we live in a world where it's not about outrunning tiger. That's not what success is. We live in a world where there's a lot of competition, and it really comes down to that how creative you are, and how reasonable you are, and how good you can perform intellectually. And stress simply doesn't give you an advantage. Actually, the research shows that people who are happier, they are 31% more productive, the 40% more likely to get promoted. So they sell more, you know, a happy salesman. And this is, you don't need science for it, but science is there, that, you know, happier salespeople, they sell a lot more compared to the sad salespeople.
Yep.
So I think you set yourself for success when you are happy. Also, think about it. A lot of work, is about relationships in modern times. I mean, computers and robots are doing a lot of menial work, and it mm-hmm. really comes down when you're thinking about making big breakthroughs in career that you have to have right relationships, and people have to be willing to work with you. And nobody wants to work with a downer, with a stressful person, with a person for whom the money is the highest value. I think the culture is changing.
Yeah. Wow.
Even the greedy mm-hmm. people want to work with honest and loving and joyful people.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's what they're looking for. Wow. Okay. Yes. That was pretty good. I like that. I gleaned a lot out of that. And it's, you know, it's very true in my experiences as well that, when you're happy, you're much more productive, you're more creative, and you do better. And, I'm not sure who, but one of the things that I say is if you go searching for money, you will never find it. It's got to be a byproduct of you doing well. So, yeah, when you said that the greedy people, the one that make money, their highest form, they never really find it because they're going about it the wrong way. Let it come as a byproduct of doing good and being happy and being creative and giving, and then it comes right back to you, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. And on the off chance, mm-hmm. if they do find, some money, they find it at the very high cost. Think about it. If you, not for one moment, for the peak of your life, for peak of your youth and for majority of your life when you were strong and you were truly able to live, you didn't get to live your truth. You didn't get to love the people and spend time with people that really mattered. You didn't really get to see the fruits of your inner intentions. You didn't really get to gather the courage to express your true emotions and feelings. Then, what kind of success will that be? Just a big mound of money? Is that worth it? You're not going to take it with you when you die, and
right.
You spend a whole life collecting it without living.
Right, right.
So
yep.
What's
yep.
the point?
Yep. Yep, exactly. When they're on their deathbed, they're going to be living, they're going to be regretting. Right, very, very true.
Yeah.
Yes, okay.
Yep.
Awesome. I'm loving this conversation. Wow. Okay, so what if my circumstances are overwhelming? Like I have an unsupportive family. I'm living in a toxic environment. I have toxic relationships. I have no time. How do I find happiness and to stay afloat and keep moving when I'm surrounded in that environment?
I think that's another big question other than this idea of, people thinking that they need to succeed and put happiness on the back burner. I think another big complaint or big reason people give themselves not to be happy is simply that tell themselves that, hey, my circumstances suck, so how can I be happy? Now, I think that this is the most faulty reasoning out there, but it has almost kind of become a legend, and people just think that it's right, it's logical, but science actually proves it, and there's been a lot of research in this field for past 30 years, and now without a shadow of doubt, science shows it that only 10% of your happiness is dependent on your external circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
Remaining 90% is really, really about how you process your life and your life experience.
Mm-hmm.
And it depends on your intentions. It depends on your values that you have in life. So I think, this is where the power of happiness formula really comes in, because these two problems that we just mentioned, they are not true. They are not facts. The facts are otherwise. It's not that you have to suffer and then you succeed. It's actually the other way around. If you're happy, you're more likely to succeed, way more likely to succeed.
Right.
And then if you are at the same time, another myth out there that, oh, my life, I have bad circumstances, I can't be happy. And that's another myth. You know, people think it's true, but it's not true. Science says only 10% of your happiness is dependent on the circumstances. So how do we change that? And I think that's where happiness formula comes in. That's where we come in. I think people need this new paradigm. They need to get indoctrinated in it. They need that support. They need this new knowledge. They need the help and guidance. And that's why people like you, Myrna, are very important. And I'm very, very happy that there's more and more people like you out there doing this positive work and inspiring people and encouraging people, believing in themselves and really, really following their purpose. And that brings tears to my eyes. Just thinking about this and, you know, like it wells me up with the real joy and hope for humanity.
Well, thank you so much. But yeah, I am, you know, like I started, my first book was called Becoming Conscious, My Awakening. And when I started learning and being in this space, everything that you've just said, that is so important. Because, you know, someone might be listening to this radio program right now and is in a very toxic relationship in the marriage. And I've been there, you know, and I know that, you know, that toxic relationship can make you feel so bad and so unhappy. But once you've learned what you just said, how to process that information, then you can look at, you can change around that toxicity and you can make it about you. And, you know, so, and yeah, that's one of the reasons I did the show, because as I'm learning, I wanted to pass it on. And it's all to do with your mindset changing. You're, you know, people go around thinking that I can only be happy if someone makes me happy. And that's not true. Happiness is never dependent on what someone else is going to do for you. It's dependent on you going inside. And you're very right. You learned it at an early age of 4, but a lot of people go their whole lives and are just externally focused, externally, what's that word, an external locus of control, where somebody else can always push the buttons and they can never be happy. So thank you for that, you know, for acknowledging the fact that I want to, you know, help, you know, change the people that are listening to this podcast to live their best life and live it now. That's my slogan.
Absolutely. Absolutely, Myrna. And I think, you know, people out there, I don't think that anybody intentionally sets out to be a failure in life or, you know, to be unhappy. I think, as, you know, we mentioned it many times during the show, that it really comes down to the social conditioning and, you know, finding the right support and that right guidance. And, you know, people like you and other people who are bringing this positive encouragement and support for people, I can't emphasize how valuable it is. And Naked Moment is just trying to, you know, make little contribution towards that. And so that's why you asked me this question, that why did we create this Naked Moment, the happiness formula, and how did I, you know, come to do it. Basically, I was in medical school, and I was, and it's interesting, I'll sit in the medical school in the classes, and there will be a physiology class, anatomy class, biochemistry class, and this is not boasting, but you know, thanks to meditation and all the tools from Happiness Formula, that I don't even have to take notes. I can sit in a classroom, you know, with like all these heavy sciences, and you know, I can listen to the lecture and retain all the information. And then a week later, there's exam, and I can just go ahead and ace it.
Wow.
Every exam. So, but when I looked around in my classroom, everybody else was stressed, and they were trying to type in so that they don't miss what the teacher is saying. And then rest of the day, they're hustling and bustling. And, you know, medical school is tough. But the amount of stress was unimaginable. And then people will stop say, well, Swami, what is your secret? You are always happy.
So I'm getting the picture of you sitting in a Buddha pose and just listening and retaining. Oh, very nice. Very nice.
So I give a lot of hugs, and I you know, try to share meditation and the tools, and they really helped my fellow students there. But that got me thinking that I'm in the medical school and I'm learning to be a healer, and there's so much healing that needs to be done out there. And so me and Jason, we had a long conversation about this, and we both decided that this is what we want to do, you know, by 2021, help at least 1 million people to be happier and more successful in their life. And we have put together this very, very strong system. Mm-hmm. And basically it's 1 month course, it's online. And when people are taking this course, we will be there providing them live support. And each week I help them. So first week I help them to find balance. And second week I help them to develop that creativity, find that lost creativity that lies deep inside them. And then in the third week, I help them to break down the walls of ego so that they can freely connect and love you and receive and share. And it's, you know, action-packed course. We teach a lot of meditations, and there are a lot of powerful techniques I share, a lot of lessons I share each week. And not just that, then I'll be calling them, and you know, so they can ask me personally. And this is our effort, and hopefully we get to help as many people as we can, because I think the world really, really needs this.
Yeah, that's all right. So, awesome. So let's take our final break, and then we'll come right back, and you will give us some more details of this, the Happiness Formula class. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Are you longing to feel happy in life? Are you tired of living an uninspired, unenergized, and lukewarm life? If you are ready to live the life of your dreams, feel in control, fulfilled, and driven with purpose, then head over to nakedmoment.com/transform, where Swami Brahmananda will help you to find the missing pieces and become the person you were born to be. You deserve happiness, and you can attain it. With Swami's guidance and the power of an entire community of happiness seekers, you too can wake up happy. Don't know what your perfect life looks like? Can't seem to get out of your own way? Always feel down, filled with fear or guilt? Do you feel like your environment isn't supporting you? Stop feeling like there's no way out. There's one clear step to take, and right now, if you head over to nakedmoment.com/transform, there will be some amazing free bonuses for you to get a head start on your happiness journey. Don't wait. Join a growing community and get happy. Head over to nakedmoment.com/transform.
Welcome back to Minds of Transformation Radio Show and Podcast. I'm your host, Coach Myrna Young, and today we have been speaking to Swami Brahmananda, and I'm not going to bother saying the last name because I mess it up. But we have been talking about life. We've been talking about happiness. We've been talking about how you get to the next level. So Swami mentioned that he has a four-week course that concentrates on balance, creativity, breaking down the ego, meditation. You get personal one-on-one time with Swami G. So tell our audience how they can access this class.
Well, first of all, I really love it the way you say my name. I think it makes it so much fun.
All right, I'm messing it up. You're being polite.
No, I think it's beautiful. I personally like
it. Thanks.
So how can people access it? Well, they can, it's very simple. They can go ahead and go to nakedmoment.com/transform, and they will be able to sign up for a free happiness training that is coming up starting 1st of June. And then they can get access to course from there. And I highly encourage to go ahead and join, because first of all, it's free, so you have nothing to lose. And second of all, I think it's really, really going to help if you are looking to be more successful, more healthy, more wealthy, and have better relationships and more awesome time as you live life, then join us and let's make your life a big everlasting party.
Yeah, and as you see, there's a byproduct. I mean, I have known people in my personal life that can never be happy because they are so attached to their external locus of control. Now, I myself have seen a transformation in my life when, you know, I go inside and I do my meditation where there's, I don't respond the same way that I would responded, you know, in the earlier days. So, you know, finding how you can be happy from the inside, it plays a very big part on your external world. And, you know, you can go as far as being a monk, but we're not saying you need to go there. We're just saying that find out how to be happy with your children and your job, in your relationships, for health reasons, because, you know, when you're happy, your body works in the, what's it called, homeostasis? What is that word again? Homeostasis, right.
Yeah.
Everything works perfectly. So, yeah, it's incredibly important to do. Now, so in order to access this course, you can go on to the Swami's website, which is nakedmoments.com/transform. This is the collaboration that we that Swami has with me, which with transform. Or I'm also going to have a link on my website, which is www.myrnayounghelps.com. And you can go on there, and there's going to be also a link for you to sign up. Now, as a special bonus for anybody that signs up for this Happiness Formula free class, then I will also throw in, as a special bonus, my Mindset Shift Focus Wheel workbook. I've created a Mindset Shift Focus Wheel workbook, and this is a workbook that allows you to switch from a fixed mindset to growth mindset. And in order to find happiness, you definitely need to have the right mindset and a growth mindset, because a fixed mindset says that whatever you are right now, that there's no better, that's where you're going to stay. So in order to grow in any way, you have to be able to change your mindset. So that will be my gift to you. Swamiji, as we wrap up the show, this was exactly as I imagined it to be. This, our conversation, is exactly as I knew it would be, where you are given life and talking life, and because I know this is a space that you've been in for a while, and one of these days I'm going to get to an ashram, and maybe you can be my teacher. You still work at the ashram?
Yes. Actually, I have an ashram back in India. Create a new one.
Okay, yeah. So that is still one of my goals, still one of my bucket lists. Hiking the Himalayas has been on my bucket list for a while. I'm not quite sure if I'm going to get to that one.
Definitely.
But, yeah, I mean, this has been awesome. But, yeah, I so thank you. Well, you know, we can probably have you back again to go deeper into maybe one of the, you know, the aspects of your class, maybe how to find balance or something, or even teaching on the meditation, breaking down ego, all those, you know, here we were general, you know, as we continue on our collaboration, we can probably have you back to open up on some of those specifics. But it's been my honor to talk to you, my privilege, and I really thank you for being on the show today. All right. So, any last words?
Thank you, Myrnaji, for having me on your show. It's been an absolute treat to be with you on the show. Thank you for sharing your positive and beautiful personality. I love your voice again. You know, I can't say it enough. It's just really, really beautiful.
Thank you.
So, anybody who's listening, I want to tell them that you have an option to live your life following your true purpose and following your heart.
Okay.
Fulfilling some. I encourage you to believe in your heart, and we are here to help. All you need is just to believe in yourself, be kind, just go inside, and you will find that strength. Go ahead and keep it handy. Love you.
Okay. Awesome. So, yes. And again, until next time, namaste.